by a show of hands, who's around for the first week or two and is interested in learning? Okay. In other words, if we put together a program of Rabbeim giving shiurim, optional shiurim in the mornings and at nights, who would be interested? Okay. So, if anyone has not yet seen it, right across from the vending machine, there's a sign about an incredible program run by Machon HaTorah Ba'aretz. They are the kings in Shemitah. They run the fruits and vegetable sales in the most halachically preferable way. And they got together with an English friend of mine who runs the yeshiva. They're offering free room and board for 5 days, including a Shabbos, where you'll get to meet Gedolim, learn with Gedolim, work in the field to understand every single thing about Shemitah. And for 5 days, free room and board with the greatest Torah about Shemitah. So, if you guys want to do that, I have no idea where the school is, but the lodging, I think, is going to be down south with wherever the farms are, by Machon HaTorah Ba'aretz. There is an email and a phone number. You should call immediately, perhaps right after Sicha. It's a little bit late. But he's a good friend of mine. He won't mind. I don't think he gets much sleep either. Okay. It's not a long sicha, but it's the last sicha of the Zman. And I wanted as many of you here as possible. We have, I would call it, a disturbing reality. The night of Pesach. And that is, we celebrate with a carbon Pesach. We celebrate with meat, that's good. But matzos salmrorim yachlu, but you also eat it with matzah and mar. And marar is bitter. It's exactly that. Al shum ma, why do we eat the mar? Al shum she vayimaru es chayehem. Because they embittered our lives. Why have the mar? We're on our way out. We're going home. We're going to freedom. Why do you want to have mar now? You want to remember bitterness when you're going into freedom? Why would you do that? Turns out that the word marar in gematria is the same as mavet. Death. I'll celebrate to death. You want to couple your celebration, your meat, with death? You want to have a remembrance of death? Well, why is that? Not only that, but we have an interesting idea of freedom. You see, the definition of freedom is basically the liberty from all bounds, binds, and chains, any constraints. It's liberation. I'm free to do as I wish. No external forces or stimuli are preventing me from doing that which I want. That's freedom. I could do as I want. No oppression, no forced conversion. I'm free. So why in freedom would you walk out with the freedom remembering bitterness and being chained and shackled? Why is that the message? And lastly, a beautiful insight brought down by the Chidah. A pasuk in Eicha, Perek Gimel. Hispiani bamrorim. You fanned me up. You've nourished me with mirorim, with bitter herbs, the marar. Hirvani la'ana, and you've given me plenty, some other bitter tree. The word oni also means oppression. You've given me plenty of oppression. This is an Eicha. Yirmiyahu wrote Eicha crying over the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, crying over the loss of 1 million Jewish lives. And he says, you've fattened us up with bitterness. You've given us too much. It's enough. Die. Comes the Medrash. Listen to this Medrash. Hispiani Bramrorim, you've nourished me with marar. That's the marar of Lela Pesach. V'hervani la'ano, and you've given me plenty oppression. That's Lel Tisha B'Av. And the Chida points out, this is why the first night of Pesach coincides with the night of Tisha B'Av. Every single year, if Pesach is on a Monday night, that means Tisha B'Av that year will be a Monday night. The first night of Pesach, the night of celebrating freedom, is the very same night that there is a reality check, there is destruction, there is pain, there is suffering. You made it out. You have freedom. Enjoy. Celebrate with mar, with bitterness. Hispiani bamrorim. You celebrate that first night of Pesach mar, and we know that it's going to lead to mar. What kind of strange idea of freedom is that? That's freedom? Walk out with the celebration meat together with mar, with bitterness and pain? And there are a number of understandings of this idea. My favorite is not the one I'm going to develop tonight, that it's bait to hold over the Ribbono Shel'olam and say, Ribbono Shel'olam, it's the break it, you bought it policy. You broke us in Egypt, you got us forever. We're yours, you can never divorce us. I like that pshat. It's beautiful. That might be why it's Pesach Matzah Mar, Mar is at the end. However, I think as pshat, the idea goes way deeper. You see, in the world, freedom is defined as what I said before. And freedom, you could do what you want. That's the American dream. I want to have money, I want to have comfort, and then I can live as I want. I'll be comfortable. I won't have many obligations. When I hit the good old age in the 50s, 60s, the Florida police will come after me. Hey, pops, drop the winter coat from New York and Chicago. It's time to get that spring jacket on. Take the golf carts. We're going down to Florida. That's the American dream. No pressure, no problems, let me live. And that's freedom. There's only one problem with this freedom, perhaps. And that is, if the goal is emptiness, it lives and breathes, nourishes emptiness. And what's left is a bunch of thin lives, people experimenting in all sorts of ways because they're looking for something and they don't know where to find it. Maybe it's in addictions to television. Maybe it's in addictions to alcohol or to drugs. Maybe it's in all sorts of things. Maybe it's with a lot of girls. I have no idea where to go to thicken my life. I'm free. I'm not shackled. I'm not bound. And I have nothing going on whatsoever. That is the idea of freedom in many religions. You're an embittered soul, turn on to the Lord. You have the picture-perfect pastor taking the pained man. Say you believe and you'll be healed, my friend. And you're healed, no pain. Turn on to religion and you'll be healed. You will not have pain. You will not have problems. That's what religion is. It's entering the world of perfect, the world that's so beautiful. It's a utopian society. There are no troubles. There are no pains. That's religion. And that's where Judaism comes up once again, over and over, to be novel and the most progressive work out there. Torah points out, that's not actually freedom. Chazal say, you want freedom? Chayrut? Freedom ain chayrut ela charut belibo. That which is engraved in your heart. Torah! Someone I know who has a tremendous addiction. a food addiction. And this individual has lost control. He cannot control the food problem. So he checked himself into a program. For years he had been struggling, and finally he checked himself into a program. And this program has mentors and their demands. And everything you eat, you have to get the okay from the mentor. And finally, for the first time in this individual's life, he expressed to me the other day, "I finally feel free. I am free of my Yetzer Hara." He relinquished. He gave in and surrendered the controls to someone else. That's freedom. Ein cheiros el charos belibo. To find something that's super meaningful, that's super valued, and you surrender to the truth in there. And I'll give you an example. It says by Avram Avinu, Hashem told Avram Avinu, listen to this, Rabosai, and understand it well. We are all part of the rerun generation. You see Superman sinking in the kryptonite. It's okay. Don't get nervous. I saw this already. It'll be fine. Well, in the Bible, it works, unfortunately, the same way. Avram goes, winds up for the slaughter of his son. Don't worry. Don't shed a tear. I know how it's going to end. It's glorious. It's fine. It says at the very beginning of the story of the Akedah, Hashem says to Avram, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Hashem says to Avram, Avram, Avram. Vayomer Hineni, here I am. Beginning of the section. Hineni. And what does Hineni mean? It means, behold, here I am ready to do your service, whatever it is. I'm prepared to do your work. Pasuk Aleph. I am prepared. Whatever it is, God, I'm ready to go. What does Hashem tell him to do? Bring your son onto the altar. Whoa. When I said, I'll do anything, that really threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting that. You know how some people approach you and they say, can you do me a favor? And then there's three groups. There are those amongst us that, sure, totally naive, assuming that they won't ask anything too crazy. And then there are those amongst us that say, heck no. No, I can't do you a favor. And then there are those amongst us that say, maybe. I'll let me hear it. And then I'll decide. Those, I guess, are less gullible amongst us. I'm usually the naive one. And it's I'm in too far, too late to turn around. That's my joke on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets anything done. He lets you in on what you're in for way too late. Anyone could build a yeshiva. Sure, why don't we go do that? It's easy. Everyone should do that, sure. Whoa. Everyone could build a shul. I can't say everyone. Come on, sure. Rabosei, Avram Avinu, he goes and brings his son. And now, Pasuk Tes, he's winding up, about to slaughter his son. Vayikroi lav min ha-shamayim shenis, they call out from heaven a second time. Vayomer Avram, Avram. And it says, Avram! Vayomer, and he says, Hineni. Nobody remarks. Pasuk Aleph, everybody. Every perish, the Ibn Ezra, the Rashbam, the Ramban, Rashi, the Rachayim, everyone remarks, what does Hineni mean on Pasuk Aleph? Here I am, I'm behold, ready to do your service. Pasuk Tes, he's going up, winding up. Avram says, Hineni. No one says anything. Not one perish remarks. No one notes a word. What does the word Hineni mean? Now you might be wondering, what am I talking about? Everyone explained it already, Pasuk Aleph. Why am I so bothered by the fact that no one explains it 8 psukim later? Presumably, it means the same thing it meant 8 psukim earlier. And I'll tell you why, as the Mashgiach Ruchani of my yeshiva said, Rav Rivlin Shlita, said an incredible point. In Pasuk Aleph, he had no idea what Hashem was expecting of him. Hineni! Here I am! I'm ready! Whatever it is, sure! Bring your son. Oh, okay. He's now about to shecht him, and Hashem calls out to him. The last time I said Hineni, you said the craziest thing. And now you're calling out to me? I'm about to do your service. What could you possibly be telling me? Slaughter him with extra zeal? Chop him in pieces? What could you possibly want from me? And whatever it is, Hashem, Hineni, I'm ready to do it no matter what. Because if you're MS, even if it's tough, you relinquish, you surrender. I can do the Ratzon Hashem. That's an incredible act of freedom. You're free, matir asurim, the bracha we say every morning. I'm unbound by all the binds, the chains that bind me, like my Yetzer Hara. That Yetzer Hara has got me lock, stock, and barrel. I am stuck to my bed. I can't overcome it. I am stuck to laziness. If there is a girl lightly clad, I have to look. If there is a girl that's interested, I have to touch her and more. I can't do anything else. I am bound. I have to serve my Yetzer Hara. That is difficult, but it's not freedom. It's not freedom. You're actually just surrendering to a whim called the American freedom, the Western idea of freedom. You're pained, you're troubled. Join onto religion where it's pain-free, it's easy, it's all wonderful. You know, Rav Volbi, who is known as the Mashgiach of Mashgiachs, he wrote a sefer, Alei Shor. He says an incredible idea in another sefer about Shalom Bayis, that there is an idea called Bashert. Everyone here of the Bashert? Everyone's heard of that, right? The one that's meant for you? Even Seinfeld heard of it. And he was wondering, what happens if, like, in the middle of traffic, you get annoyed and you curse at, and turns out that was the one meant for you? And everyone knows of this idea. There's one, Rav Volbi points out, that one girl meant for you, you could ruin it, destroy it, and have the worst marriage in the world. And one that's not your Bashert, you could have the most blissful marriage. It's all very simple. There is no such thing as pain-free, work-free, challenge-free. There's no such thing. The Jewish celebration comes with the recognition there is Marar. We walk out of Egypt, I know there's still going to be matzah. Matzah slavery. Matzah is you bash it. Matzah and marar, both are the similar idea. You bash the dough. We bashed it. Oppressed the dough. That's not luxury. Luxury is bread. Let it rise. Let it sit. Enjoy. That's eating bread. I sit back. Bread. Matzah and marar. That's the way you eat your Korban Pesach. That's exactly how the Jew eats his Korban Pesach. I know there might be some more bitterness along the way, and I still celebrate. I say, this is from Hashem. When the going gets tough, I say, thank you, Hashem. I know this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem. I know that you're with me. Rav Asher Resnick, a Rav from uphill, a tzaddik in our time, he lost his daughter, Nebuch, at 14 years old to leukemia. I rushed back. I was in the United States. One of the founding fathers of the shul working with me. And I left, ended my trip to the States early to get back so I could pay a shiva call. Hundreds and hundreds of hours of tehillim, of shiurim, of segulas, of whatever we could get our hands on, what we did to keep this girl alive. And I got there. And he said three such critical points. Number one, when I sat down, he knew I was in America. He did not think. He knew I was not expected back. He was so appreciative I made it. And he said, Reb Binyamin, I've been so saddened these days because everybody that pays a shiva call sits down and says, I'm so sorry that all those Sifrei Tehillim and all those Shiurim apparently didn't work. And he said, you know how angry it makes me? What do you mean it didn't work? Do you know how many books of Tehillim are in heaven? Bizchus, my daughter. Do you know how many words of Torah are there because of my daughter? Didn't work? What do you mean? Number two. He said, you know, the Gemara Brachos tells us, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha. Serve Hashem with simcha. Gemara Brachos. Kishem shemavarech es HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hatova, kach mavarech al hara. Just like we say a blessing to God over good, we bless God over the bad. The Pesach with the Marr, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, we didn't win a lottery. I'm talking about death of my daughter. I feel like I lost a limb that will never grow back. The pain will always be with me. Rav Asher Resnick said, I now know what it means. Because every step of the way, every single step of the way, I felt Hashem was right there with me. I saw His hand in every step of the way. There's Mar, but I know it's because I'm a Jew, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. That's the Marr experience. It goes both ways. Because you have a Pesach and you will have freedom, there are difficulties. And because there are difficulties that you will embrace and recognize that it comes from Hashem, that is why there is a Pesach, that's why there is a celebration. And that's how we know that there will be a destiny of the Jewish people. There will be a Geula. I want to conclude with one very simple point. Some people are very overwhelmed by a full day of yeshiva schedule. I can't do a whole day. And every procrastination and justification in the world comes up. I need to make food. I need to buy a max cake. I need to nourish my soul with a walk. I need to lie in bed. I'm just so tired. It will take me about 3 months to recover. A million excuses. At the end of the day, after 6 months of justifications, unfortunately, too many people look at themselves and say, I really didn't get anywhere. I really didn't get so far. What have I made of myself? And the whole day is just overwhelming. But one thing that everyone is going to celebrate very soon is Pesach, we're free, but the Jewish freedom, but there are difficulties as well. Because the Jew works, the Jew enslaves himself, the Jew surrenders and recognizes there's work involved. I will do the emes. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to do. And if I couldn't do a whole day, I'm not on Avraham Avinu's level, so let it be in the 15-minute packets. A nugget. 5-10 minutes. Wherever you go, minyan. Everyone could do minyan. You could go back to sleep. Go to minyan. Bike! Rollerblade there! Tramp! I don't care how you get there. Call the old guy that's been going for 50 years and still doesn't understand the blessed word. Call Vinny. He'll drive you. He'll stop by. He'll introduce you to the Stella Dora cookies and the schnapps. Call him. He'll stop by your house. Go out of your way. Get to minyan. 3 times a day. It's not hard. If you're traveling, I travel. It's not hard. You could get a minyan everywhere. Learning, 15 minutes a day. And with this, I tell you, is my segula, my personal suggestion of segulas. How do I know I will continue to grow in Torah? Wherever I am, I will grow and thrive in Torah the rest of my life. Two things. Number one, it takes learning 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes is really not a big commitment. There are certain things that naturally break up into 15-minute segments. Sefer HaChinuch in English, Mishnah Berurah in English, Sefer HaMitzvot by the Chafetz Chaim in English. Those that could do Mishnayot in Hebrew, so do Mishnayot in Hebrew. You could do it in English, do it in English. You could do stories, Gedolim stories, do Gedolim stories. I don't care what you do, do learning. Torah learning. Chumash. It breaks up very nicely. 7 days, 7 aliyot. It's easy. 15 minutes a day. Number two, brachos. Say your brachos slow out loud. Out loud. That means if it's with someone else, the other person should hear it and be able to say amen. That's what it means out loud. So many of us are brachos. I don't even remember what I ate. I don't remember. The bracha came and went. Did I say a bracha? Did I not say a bracha? Rabbi Yudin, Shlita from my hometown, he once said the following line. An amazing line. He said, I'm not really sure how it could happen. So the case is someone forgot to say a bracha. He wanted to talk about what happens if you forgot to say a bracha. And he was having trouble. He's like, I don't understand. Like, I could understand if you have mismatched shoes or mismatched socks, but I can't understand the person who walks outside forgetting his shoes. I'm not really sure how it could happen. You forgot a bracha. But the case is, you forgot. He was just having trouble imagining it. How did it happen? Unfortunately, I've seen it. It makes sense to me. How? Say it out loud. Those are my two things. Do whatever you can to get to Minyan. Get your 15 minutes of learning a day. If you can learn 12 hours a day, gevaldik. But if you can't, everyone can do it. That's my work! And I would be remiss if I would end the sikha that Mara is just bitterness of death and oppression. It could be just the concept that you have to work. You have to enslave yourself to what you actually really deep down want to do. Because if we actually surrender to what we really deep down want to do, then that freedom that you celebrate is so geschmack. It is so sweet. You appreciate every step and frustration and challenge and piece of mar that you went through. Chag kosher v'sameach.